Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Good morning across the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. I'm Todd Albaugh. It is Wednesday hump day, May 17th, 2023. Glad to have you along with us. Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer on the board. It is Wednesday. That means only one thing. It is crossover day on Civic Media, at least for us in the morning. Was honored and pleased to be
on the
Pat Kreitlow show this morning, Up North News with Pat Kreitlow.
Sorry, I was just doing my impression of the audience when they hear that. Oh, God, Kreitlow's here.
No, just the opposite. There's cheers and thunderous applause. Yeah. They're happy to hear it. To have Pat with us as always and taking the time with us. And, of course, Wednesday means it is senior advisor from Lincoln Project, Trygve Olsen's day to join us. He is joining us as well. Gentlemen, always great to have you on the air with us on a Wednesday morning. Pat, start with you. What is new and happening on the banks of Lake Wissota?
Well, first off, the thing that's most new is we can almost see the sky again. Apparently, the smoke from all the Western Canada wildfires wasn't quite as intense down by you, but I was telling folks on our show that I went and looked at a weather app to find out what time it was supposed to rain because it was so overcast, and it said it's sunny outside, and I said I don't think so, and then saw the satellite imagery of all the smoke that's coming down. But I mean, it's another gorgeous day to be up on the lake, so I'm not going to complain. We're getting yard work done. We're trying to make the place presentable for Memorial Day weekend. Nice. We could use a little warm up, but we're on the way. We're on the way.
It was really interesting. Kara Foster yesterday from Weatherology was talking about these fires in Alberta, and that she said there's just this very narrow jet stream, just bringing all that kind of smoke down, and a very kind of a small line where it was really intense up there in northern Wisconsin. It was a little hazy. It still is this morning, a little bit hazy, but not like super smoky.
But what it does is those sunsets and sunrises. Yeah. I mean, you've just got this massive deep red disc up in the sky. It's like you're in a Star Wars, movie or something like that, which makes sense when you look at the Civic Media lineup. I mean, we really look like the Cantina Bar as far as all the characters.
That is so very true. You were talking to a Senate Democratic leader here in Wisconsin, Melissa Agard, this morning. She had been on our program a while back as well. She is going around the state and on what was being called kind of a cannabis tour.
Grassroots tour, yes.
Yes, the grassroots cannabis tour. I think it's so interesting. And what I think this is just as a former legislator yourself, I think you'll agree, it's just really great legislating. Because rather than staying in Madison and putting an edict out, she's going around and meeting people, both pro and con, on this issue of legalization of cannabis. I found it fascinating.
It's always good to get out of the building. Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, and talk to people where they are. And to be honest, from a Democratic perspective, when you're in the minority like this, the one political strategy you simply have to follow, and not all of them do, is get on the road into some of those majority represented districts, because you do have supporters out there. I think of the times when I had to dial for dollars, for Senate Democrats, and I would call into, say, Dodge County. And somebody would say, well, yeah, I mean, it's crazy out here. I'm the only Democrat in Dodge County. We got, Scott Fitzgerald and blah, 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 blah. And then you call the next person and they're like, I'm the only Democrat in Dodge County, it's like, no, you're all out there. So get your voices out there, get your other, assembly reps and senators, and give them another point of view, much like, Civic Media is doing from a radio standpoint. So you're very right to say that getting out of the building and talking to people directly is not going to fail you.
One of the things last night or yesterday that broke out in the Capitol here in Madison, speaking of the building, a rare moment of bipartisanship in the Joint Finance Committee. And I've been pretty rough on co-chair Howard Mark Lyne. But, I think it's also important to point out a victory here and there. And Kelly Thompson, who is the state... Pat, I'm sorry, help me out here. District attorney... for the state of Wisconsin and for the public defender. That's the word I'm trying to think. Not enough coffee.
I'm actually going to cut you off because I know you're going to give bipartisan praise that they're going to raise the pay for district attorneys and public defenders. Stop.
Okay.
No. don't, the same with the shared revenue plan. Do not reward people for finally doing the right thing after doing the wrong thing for a decade. When we have been losing prosecutors, we have been losing public defenders, we have had people sounding the alarm. We have such a problem in this state with recruitment and retention of public defenders, district attorneys, teachers, you name it. And you don't get an attaboy for finally saying, well, we finally heard people cry uncle enough times. You either govern all the time or not once a decade when it's suddenly convenient and you expect to collect accolades. So I will grant you it was a moment of bipartisanship, but it is so overdue as to that has to be pointed out along with the attaboys.
I appreciate it. I get no problem with what you just said. No problem at all. I'm just saying that, yes, it wasn't long overdue, but I think, the state public defender, that's the term I was trying to think of having a COVID and senior moment together. Kelly Thompson, who is a former Governor Tommy Thompson's daughter, and rather than kind of, she could have cashed out with her name ID alone, but she's also a very intelligent and thoughtful person on her own, and she has stayed in there to advocate for public defenders in this state, and she's done a lot of lobbying on both the Republicans and the Democrats. And you're right, Republicans should have done this a long, long time ago, but I guess I think we have to at least give people hope once in a while that there is something happening in Madison that is a little bit on the good side.
Yeah, I'll grant that. We will point that out. You need those moments now and then, because otherwise too many people are going to walk away, and you can't walk away from public service. Sometimes it's the road is long, but you have to stick to it.
Pat Kraitlow, we appreciate you. See a little bit of rousiness, a little bit of up and at it. I love it. Pat Kraitlow, every morning, 6 until 8. Thanks a lot, Pat. We appreciate you. Stay tuned. Tribute's next on the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Cue the lights. Cue the music. Coming on to the show, on the Todd Allball Show, the Civic Media Radio Network at 8:33, is our own rock star meteorologist from Weatherology, the great Kara Foster.
I'm doing the robot right now. You can't tell.
there's your introduction.
Thank you.
Meteorologists need a better introduction. I think that's,
we do. Right? I think we do.
I like that Aaron led with the safety dance when Kara comes on.
Yeah.
Given the kind of news Kara usually brings.
We brought you up in the first half hour here with Trigvy and Pat Kraitlow from Up North News, talking about Pat, lives up in Lake Wasota up there in northern Wisconsin, saying he thought it was going to rain. It got so dark and kind of hazy up there with all this smoke coming in from Canada.
Yeah, it was kind of wild over here. I live over here in the Twin Cities, and we obviously were in the more clear areas, but it stayed so, it looked like it was a cloudy day, but there was no shapes or shadows from any of the clouds, obviously, because it was just haze. We had sky, but the haze was so widespread, it looked so dense that it was just very eerie. And we still have some over here. I don't know about you guys, if you guys
in Madison,
have some
really high haze right now.
Yes, that's kind of what it is here too. A very nice orange hue. I called it like high C or like a sunny D hue.
Oh, very nice. Sunny D hue. He's a new rapper, by the way. So anyway.
There you go.
All right, Kara, we've got the Trigvy on the line here. If you can throw in a little River Falls forecast, he always appreciates that, along with Avery, Wausau, and Richland. Senator, what do we got today?
Well, it's nothing but sunshine and haze, basically. I mean, we're not expecting too much going on today. We got highs in the upper 60s, reaching 68 and sunny in Amory. We're up to about 64 and sunny in Wausau. And over in Richland Center, still at 68. For reference, our average high for this time of year is about the upper 60s, lower 70s. So we're not doing too bad, actually. Tonight, we are going to stay a little cloudier because there is going to be starting to see a front move in for tomorrow, which is good. That will start to clear out that haze. But we do kind of have to trade the haze for actual clouds tomorrow. So mostly cloudy tonight. We're dipping down to 53 over in Amory, 40 and partly cloudy for Wausau, and 40 and partly cloudy for Richland Center. So Thursday, some rain, some thunderstorms. We'll have some southwest winds come in, gusting as high as 30, and a good chunk of the state, actually much of the state, will see those winds. Over in Richland Center, you might stay a little bit drier for the first part of the day, but then as we head into Thursday night, those showers will pick up for you guys as well. And we'll dip down to the 50s. Actually, tomorrow we're going to be in the upper 60s, lower 70s. Thursday night, like I said, everyone will see some showers. We'll start to see those winds pick up still. And then Friday, we're going to see some rain in the morning. Actually see a really nice day for the rest of the day. Partly sunny, highs will be a little bit cooler in the upper 50s and lower 60s. But fortunately, those winds have passed and then clearing up for Friday night. And then by the weekend, my goodness, it's going to be a gorgeous weekend to go like to a farmer's market, something like that. Sunny in the lower 70s both Saturday and Sunday, no winds, and we'll start to be in the mid 70s, lower 80s actually by Monday and Tuesday. So it's going to start feeling a lot like summer actually as we head into next week. A little bit more humidity in there as well. I'm meteorologist Kara Foster.
Kara, you're fantastic. We appreciate you, not a bad forecast at all, and have a wonderful day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks, you as well. Catch you then.
All right. Thank you, Kara Foster, for Weatherology. We appreciate her as always. And we appreciate our guest every Wednesday. That is the senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, Mr. Trygve Olson, native of Wisconsin here, gone on to do politics and campaigns here in Wisconsin nationally and internationally as well. We appreciate him as always. Trygve, let's turn our attention, if we could, a little bit to the national scene. Elections last night or in Wisconsin, but last night in Kentucky, Pennsylvania, and Florida, elections being held. Republicans have their candidate now in Kentucky. Democrats have their majority in Pennsylvania. And the 2024 GOP presidential primary has another clash between Trump and DeSantis in the books. Voters threw DeSantis kind of a pair of brushbacks, most notably in Kentucky, where the Florida governor's 11th hour endorsement in the GOP governor primary flopped big time. Back home in Jacksonville, Democrats knocked off another DeSantis ally, electing the first female mayor in Jacksonville there. But let's take a look at in Kentucky here, where Daniel Cameron was a big winner last night. It sets up one of 2023's most important elections, one with implications in 2024.
Yeah, so a couple of things about that race. One, he's an African-American attorney general. He was endorsed by Trump, although he beat a DeSantis-backed candidate. And I will tell you, it was pretty funny. Chris Lacevito, who's running Trump's campaign, was taunting DeSantis on Twitter last night about they're beating his candidate. So, you know, the back and forth and full swing. Cameron would be more from the Ron Paul wing of the Kentucky Republican Party than the McConnell wing.
Okay.
But that's not surprising. Steve Beshear, who's the incumbent governor, is a Democrat. You know, Beshear's father was a really prominent guy in Kentucky. Uh-huh. And Beshear has, you know, I did a bunch of work at races in Kentucky. Kentucky is a poorer version of Wisconsin in many ways. But it's a neat state. But because it's poor and has a harder time attracting businesses, Beshear has done a really good job of getting businesses to come to Kentucky. And has demonstrated that a moderate Democrat can you know, build a robust business climate while still maintaining themselves true to a lot of the principles of the Democratic Party. It's going to be an interesting race because Kentucky is one of those places where it's pretty easy for a Democrat to get to 48%. It's really hard for him to get to 50 plus one. But Beshear has proven that he can do that. And I suspect Beshear probably prevails in the end, but I think it's going to be close. And I think Trump is going to be really trying to make his endorsement, and the fact that Cameron's an African-American and that he beat DeSantis, a real play, mostly to try and soften him with suburban women Republican women who are uncomfortable with Trump. Well, look it, I'm backing this guy.
Right. This is certainly not Herschel Walker in Georgia that Trump endorsed down there.
No, not.
This is a legit candidate. You said attorney general, I believe.
Yeah, he could be. I mean, would he be, unlike Herschel Walker, who is not qualified to be in the United States Senate were probably in a locker room anymore. I mean, it was sad with Herschel Walker. Because, like, if you're our age, Herschel Walker was the guy who could do 4,000 push-ups, literally, without lifting a weight. But he, this guy, yeah, I mean, he would be the real deal if he became governor.
And important, again, that this kind of already this contest, you mentioned this early on, Trigvi, that you said just wait until DeSantis has to get on a stage with Trump. I mean, just wait until Trump, you feel the full force of Trump. That hasn't even happened yet. And already DeSantis's numbers are plummeting. And here you see again in Kentucky and other places, the Trump-endorsed candidate is beating the DeSantis-endorsed candidate despite all these legal troubles for Trump. He seems to be, as you predicted, as you said, only growing in strength in the Republican Party.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, I maybe have said this before. I mean, back when I was doing Republican campaigns, Chris La Civita, who's running Trump's campaign, and I did a lot of work together. Mm-hmm. And I think I understand how Chris thinks fairly well. He probably understands how I think, too. But I think they're thinking probably at this point is DeSantis is a useful foil for him.
Yeah.
Because DeSantis right now, really, like with the Disney stuff, 6-week abortion ban, he is giving Chris, who ran Ron Johnson's campaign last time, the opportunity to do what Ron Johnson did, which is run a bunch of ads about how much he had done for the African-American community. And Democrats were busy saying, well, he's not going to get African-American votes in Milwaukee. And it never was about African-American votes in Milwaukee. It was about making Ron John palatable to suburban women in the wild counties. Mm-hmm. And that is what Ron DeSantis is kind of doing for Donald Trump right now. I think Mike Pence getting in the race becomes a much more complicating factor for Donald Trump.
Really?
Yeah, because attacks from Pence they may not undermine Trump with Trump's base. Mm. What you have to understand is you got a quarter of the Republican Party, and we've got a report that's coming out in the next few weeks on this, you know, is pretty politically extremist, meets the four steps, and is, you know, somewhat radicalized in terms of need, network, and narrative. They're backing Trump 8-1 or something like that. They're not going to lead Trump, but Pence does some damage because he was in the room with that. Those people that Trump is trying to communicate to that he needs to claw back to win.
Any thoughts on, I mean, at this point, still feel it's going to be Trump as the nominee?
Yeah, I don't. I believe that will be the case. I would put real money on that. I had to bet. The other thing that I would just say is I don't, you know, for listeners who haven't seen Craig Gilbert's piece on voting trends in the suburbs in Wisconsin, I think it ran last week. They should go back and read that. It was really fascinating. Maybe we can post it. I'll post it on Twitter.
Sure, happy to do it. We talked a little bit about it because I think it came out on last Wednesday, and I hadn't had a chance to read it yet, but we went on the air, and I did read it then that afternoon. And so we talked about it on the show on Thursday quite a bit. And you're right. It's a fascinating piece talking about the trends and how things have changed in Wisconsin. And not necessarily good if you're a Republican, and, you know, maybe not quite as diverse as some of the Democrats had hoped. You know, the redder areas.
But it gets to those voters are the ones that have swung between Trump and Biden and or stayed home. And where they fall is going to, quite honestly, those voters in Wisconsin probably will decide for the nation which direction we go.
What do you, and again, I'm putting you on the spot, but I mean, not something we're going to hold you to, but just based on your vast amount of experience, which you do have, how many actual, like, the number of votes or voters? Like, are we talking about, 7,000 people? Are we talking about a universe of 30,000 people in Wisconsin, you think, who are going to swing this? What's kind of the universe that you believe will make the
election? Well, I mean, if you look at 16, I think it was 17,000 votes that ultimately decided it. And in 20, it was about 20,000 votes. The governor's race was a little more, the Senate race. I would say the universe of houses, the universe of voters who sit on that line, that are going to vote democracy and like decide, they're naturally inclined, they're conservative people,
right,
and they tend to cluster up through the third district along the river and then across Highway 29 over to the valley. I would say, you know, there's probably like 50,000 households. I mean, that's a general number. They probably watch Fox and they also watch network news. They're more male than female. You know, I tend to believe that the most robust targets are actually girl dads who have daughters and wives who maybe see that crazy as a little bit more than they can take and are in their ears, because I know as a girl dad myself, nothing actually gets me moving faster, even to a Katy Perry concert, than my daughter's harping on me that they want to do it. So
I appreciate that.
I'd say about 50,000. I mean, it's my drinking buddies. When we've targeted them at the Lincoln Project, my drinking buddies occasionally be like, hey, we're seeing ads all the time. I can't go on Hulu or, you know, YouTube without seeing your ads. Well, yeah.
I think I appreciate that insight, because not many people know this stuff and not many people are willing to talk about it openly. But that when we see all these ads and people say, oh, I'm so sick of this, it's like, well, they're only targeted to a small universe, which is going to make the difference in Wisconsin. And also, as you said, could decide the presidential election in 2024. Going to talk about George Santos. I also want to get Trigvy's take on a couple other things as well. We'll be back with Trigvy Olson on the Tom Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Plastic bag drifting through the wind, wanting to start again. Do you ever feel this so paper thin, like a house of cards, one blow from caving in?
Welcome back to the Tom Allball Show. It is now 8:50 on the Civic Media Radio Network. I think we have a new demographic, Trivy. Katy Perry dads. I think that is a new demo.
My God. I haven't been writing as much on Resolute Square and some other places, but I need to write a piece. In fact, maybe I should submit it to like the Journal Sentinel on Katy Perry dads.
Katy Perry dads.
I probably should.
I'm serious. I think you hit on something this morning. Katy Perry.
I'll tell you what, though. When I'm in studio, which is eventually going to happen, Aaron's going to hear me roar when he plays this game.
Oh, boy. Well, the new studios are getting close to being done, so we should be downtown here in another 2 to 3 weeks. So we're looking forward to that. And, of course, you always have open invitation here at our shop anytime, Trigvy. We appreciate you. A couple of things I want to get your take on here. Number one, there is a vote, I believe, today in Congress and the House on sanctioning, if not expelling, or anyway, a vote against George Santos, the embattled congressman who has now been officially indicted for a litany of things too numerous to go into right now. But a lot of times on either side, I'm not a fan of these type of votes. You know it for the minority, because you know there's no chance it's going to pass. It's simply for political purposes. But this is one I like, Trigvy, because I think that every elected official, particularly on the Republican side, should have to be on the record. Do you support this guy or not? What is your take?
My take is there's these members of the House who call themselves the Problem Solvers Caucus. And the ones who are Republican problem solvers, probably if they really want to be problem solvers, should be voting George Santos be expelled from Congress. Right. Which leads me to believe they don't really want to solve problems. They want to be in the majority. Kevin McCarthy, of course, needs Santos's vote. So, like, he's willing to do whatever he has to do because the margin's so thin. But, I mean, I think these kinds of votes typically are a joke. But I also think in this case, I kind of like the strategy, because you're going to put all these people on record and expose the insanity. I mean, I do think fighting these kinds of forces, mocking them and exposing the insanity is the key.
Well, just one of the charges Santos got indicted for in New York was that he allegedly took 52,000 dollars in unemployment benefits while making a six-figure salary from a company in Florida. And oh, incidentally, he's one of the authors to the immigration unemployment reform bill, going after people that do fraud against unemployment benefits. And he was allegedly doing it himself.
Right. I think on the radio, I can use the term scumbag. If we're on a podcast, I'd use something else. honestly, and here's the thing, like the people who are listening to this show, like that doesn't correspond to their values at all, particularly the ones who are conservatives. And this guy has the leaders of the supposedly conservative party standing with him. I mean, that's the thing. Like, the cognitive dissidents, these people, the real elites who look down on good, hardworking people in places like Western, across Wisconsin, are in fact those Republicans who are keeping a guy like this in. And that doesn't mean that the Democrats don't have some problems with West coastal elites who look down on voters too. They do. I get that. But the idea that these guys who are keeping somebody who's done those things in office on the Republican side, that they don't look down on hardworking people,
well,
is wrong.
And again, you're going to have Congressman Derek Van Orten of Western Wisconsin, the 3rd District, who keeps coming after people saying that there's fraud on unemployment. We have to make people work harder for unemployment benefits and go after them and go after them and go after them. But I would bet $100 today that he is going to vote to hold up and protect George Santos today on the House floor.
Absolutely. And Tom Tiffany.
Right.
And Scott Fitzgerald.
Right.
And Mike Gallagher.
So don't come back to Wisconsin and harp on people in Prairie du Chien and Richland Center and Boscobel and River Falls if you're not willing to vote out one of your own guys doing the same crap.
Correct. And not only that, what you are really the lowest form of you're not a public servant. You're just a wannabe when you do that.
Speaking of
and demagoguing people who are down on their luck, it's just
speaking of Derek Van Orten, like he likes to, you know. And again, I'm 100% a supporter of veterans and people in military service. Clear this up for us, Trigvy. Did Republicans actually give a 20% cut to veterans benefits in their proposed budget or in this deal that they're doing or not? Because there's a lot of confusion. My take is, if you look at the legislation, it was a cut to veterans benefits.
It seems to me to be a cut, right? Now, there's always the funky playing with math that gets done by proponents of big government, that if you have a cost of living or just a inflation guaranteed increase, that if you stop that you cut when in fact more money is being spent. But this actually looks like a real cut. And I do wonder, you know, on something like that, and I think about it, as you know, I worked for John McCain for a long time. I just wonder, because that's the kind of thing that would have set McCain absolutely off. Quite frankly, it's the kind of thing where the U.S. Congress misses Adam Kinzinger, because it's the kind of thing that would set Adam off. But yes, it looks like a cut.
And again, I think it's just the hypocrisy to the hilt for a guy like Derek Van Orten to keep leading every sentence with, you know, as a former Navy SEAL and holding up and wrapping himself in the fleet. He literally had
Wait a minute. Was he a Navy SEAL? I've never heard that before. Oh, yeah, he was.
He leads every sentence with it. But he literally was back in the and really, I mean, a couple, 3 weeks ago, he had a tweet. I saved it. Well, he was wrapping him. He had a jean jacket and a baseball cap and his dog or a dog in a Quick Trip in Western Wisconsin trying. And this is going to be the playbook, Trigvy. We got about a minute and a half left. I think this is the playbook for him in 2024. Oh, I'm a harmless little fuzzball from Western Wisconsin who likes puppy dogs and waves the flag. And we've got to be able to cut through that stuff and talk about these issues where he's just a total hypocrite.
Wasn't he at the Capitol on January 6th? I think he was.
I think he posted a picture on it on Facebook and is still proud of it.
Yeah, you're right.
It's called insurrection, right?
That is called insurrection. I don't hear him leading with that.
No.
He also, you noticed he's demonstrating himself to have the spine of a jellyfish, at least in terms of the abortion issue, because right. He was a no exceptions under any circumstances guy, and now he's suddenly seeming to be more compromise orient, which I would think would put him in an awkward spot with both sides on that issue.
You'd think so. Never an awkward spot on Wednesdays is Trigvi Olsen, Senior Advisor to the Lincoln Project. Trigvi, we appreciate you as always, my friend. Have a great week. We'll see you next Wednesday.
I'll be coming to you from Hudson, baby.
Nice. In Hudson, Wisconsin. Sounds great. Stay with us. Hour number 2 of the Tylo Bowl Show is next. This is the Tylo Bowl Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.